So, who's excited about the Tonys? Is anyone going to skip tonight's new episode of Game of Thrones so they can see if David Diggs will win a Tony for his work as Marquis de Lafayette and Thomas Jefferson in Broadway's Hamilton? Now, I didn't grow up watching the Tonys, but I did marry into a Tonys watching family, which means Super Bowl Sunday and Tony Sunday are about neck and neck in importance in my house. We'll probably even let our kids stay up late so that they can watch this annual event where stars from stage and screen celebrate theater. For many from all across the country who can't attend a musical on Broadway, this award show is the closest they'll get to experience the Great White Way. And this year, the big buzz is whether Hamilton will sweep all the categories they're nominated in. But it'll be tough, because the voters, producers, critics, and others have a lot of amazing talent to consider. So as I prepared myself for this year's show, I've been seeing what the critics have to say. I especially looked for their prediction lists, where they say who should win a Tony and who they think really will win the Tony. And I like to focus on the critics, because critics do what I can't do. They see all the shows. They meet with actors and playwrights, and they spend their time and energy reading and studying the history and the craft of the theater and the arts. At their best, critics share with us on the outside what the experience is like on the inside. They help us to be part of this large and vibrant cultural event. We might not be able to see Broadway's Hamilton, but through the reviews of Ben Brantley, Michael Dale, and Linda Weiner, we can see a little of what this cultural event is all about. Matt Windman, theater critic for AM New York, and in full disclosure, a friend of mine, recently wrote a new book called The Critics Say, where he interviewed 57 theater critics about the craft of being a critic. Jeremy Girard, theater critic for Deadline.com, said something I found very interesting when he was asked why critics exist. He said, "Critics offer a skeleton key into the thinking about a subject. They help us to see things with open eyes, open hearts, and open minds. Critics help us see. And in today's reading from the Gospel of Luke, Jesus the critic comes into being. The story begins with an invitation to a dinner party. Jesus in the Gospel of Luke is always eating and drinking, and today is no different. A Pharisee opened his home, and Jesus took his place at the table. Somehow, word about this party got out, and a woman decides to crash it. We on the outside have no idea what her name is. She, like so many faithful women in Scripture, go unnamed. But this woman knows that Jesus will be at this party. And that's important, because she knows Jesus. In a story that isn't recorded in Scripture, but one that is hinted at in Jesus' dialogue later in today's story, we know that Jesus and this woman ran into each other before. Verse 47. And the words "have been" and "hence" are the key. Something happened in the past. They shared an experience together, and it was then when Jesus first forgave her. So when this woman comes into the room, interrupting the dinner party with her presence. People see her. People watch her. They watch as she, in an extremely intimate and over-the-top way, washes Jesus' feet and welcomes him to the Pharisees' table. Now, I'm pretty sure everyone saw this. And we can almost hear everyone's jaw drop as they watch what this woman did. She, a sinner, is showing honor and love to a religious teacher. Simon speaks up in his mind, but gives us and gives everyone there a voice. He says what everyone is already thinking. This woman is a sinner. She's not perfect. The text doesn't tell us what makes her a sinner, but she's got a reputation. People know who she is. When she walks into a room, her history and her baggage come with her. In the eyes of the other guests, she shouldn't be doing what she's doing. According to the guests, if Jesus was truly someone who could see the world as it is, who could see the world like God sees it, Jesus wouldn't be letting this woman wash his feet. If Jesus was who he says he is, this woman would be kept away. This is a dinner party where this woman doesn't belong. And in the eyes of everyone around her, the guests and even us 2,000 years later, as we watch this action unfold, what she does shows just who Jesus is. But like every good critic, Jesus has done his homework. He knows a story we don't. Jesus sees this woman and knows her. He knows her failing and her strengths. He knows her pain and her joys. He knows her and he loves her, not because she's perfect, but because love is just what Jesus does. He's that skeleton key that unlocks for everyone what it is that God sees. Jesus is a critic, but not because he's critical. A critic doesn't just criticize. A critic's job is to know the full story and make all of us see that full story for ourselves. At the start of the story, the dinner party guests thought they could see this woman. We thought we could see her too. But in the end, Jesus shows that our sight isn't God's sight. Our love isn't the limit to God's love either. Jesus forces us to reevaluate the woman, reevaluate the story we heard, and reevaluate the love that she shows. Jesus, the critic, is a critic of sinners. And Jesus loves us anyways. So in a few moments, we're going to have our own little dinner party. There's going to be bread, there's going to be wine, and there's going to be grape juice. And there's going to be us, too. But today is special for us as this community of faith because Ashley Christensen will, at the 10:30 service, commune with us for the first time. Now, Ashley isn't a stranger to God's table. Since before she was born, God knew her and loved her, and Jesus' table was always her table too. Even when we don't partake, we are still blessed and prayed for here. At this table, at this rail, this bread, cup, and blessing is more than just nourishment for the journey ahead. It's a promise that we've already been seen. It's a promise that we are truly known. And that this body and blood isn't just for everyone else. Our worthiness for this gift, for this award from God, isn't something granted to us by our peers. There's no accounting firm counting votes from producers and critics and church members to say that this gift from Jesus is something we somehow earned. The gift of being seen by God isn't something that happens to us once we take the right classes or earn the right grades or pass the right tests. No, Jesus just sees us. Jesus just knows us. And Jesus, taking in all of who we are, loves us anyways. It's through that love that our minds are open. It's through God's grace that our hearts are open too. The stories we know and the gossip we share isn't the limit to God's possibilities. What we see isn't the limit to what God sees. And it's through the gift of faith, the gift of prayer, through the gift of blessing and the gift of bread and drink, that we're given the tools to look at each other and to look at our world through Jesus' eyes. And like Jesus, just see. Amen.